For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
I wanted to be someone who was valuable enough for his love because I had kind of felt broken and unlovable. And so I thought if I could make myself someone worthy of this man, then that would be an accomplishment.
Welcome to the Becoming Her podcast with me, Nikki Spolstra. This is a space where we explore the human experience and the challenges, obstacles, and resiliency that shape who we are. Alongside expert guests and featured friends, I am here to host meaningful conversations that tackle life's complex challenges with humor, grace, and a little bit of sass. You are here for a reason, for the collective growth, so we may deepen our understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Hippity hop.
Very good.
Come to mama. Okay, so today we have Asha Elias joining us, and listen up. This is going to be a fun one. She is a writer, mother, and a reluctant, air quotes, reluctant socialite. Asha Elias is a contributing writer for Cosmopolitan magazine. She is a regular columnist for the Miami New Times. Most recently, Asha authored the book Pink Glass Houses and the Namaste Club, which I am like the first person to have. Yes. Okay, we have a lot of life things to talk about today, from age gaps in relationships, which is one of my favorite topics now, to being a public person who is somewhat private, to having the guts to go after what you really want in life. I have a feeling that things are going to get a little spicy in the best way possible. So let's get started.
Yeah, Asha, welcome. Do it. Thank you for having
me. Yes, welcome to the Becoming Her podcast. Like, this is a new thing. It just went through an entire rebrand, and you're going to be one of the first people to be a part of it. So I'm really excited. We are all on the up and up here, and you, my dear, seem to have been on the up and up and up for a minute now. So congrats on your two books, Pink Glass Houses and the Namaste Club.
Thank you.
Where do we start?
Let's dive in with age gaps, because I feel like that's what keeps coming up, and yeah, we both have a lot to say about it.
We have so much to say about it.
So let's
talk about it. Okay, so tell me about your age gap marriage.
Mm-hmm. So I always dated older. I mean, even from when I was in middle school and I've listened to your podcast before, and we do have a lot in common there. My boyfriend when I was a freshman in high school was a freshman in college. So I was 14, he was 18. He had a car and he could drive. I thought it was the greatest thing ever. Looking back, like, you know, maybe I should have tried to just be a teenager and be a high schooler.
Yeah.
But you can't go back. I met my future husband when I was 25 and he was 39. And I think based on what you said about your parents, some of the experiences we've had, sometimes age really doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And sometimes it does.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of nuances in between. And the fact was, we loved each other very much. And we still do in a lot of ways. And we were compatible in so many ways. And I think we were at an age where it didn't feel like there was a power imbalance.
Interesting.
Although, of course there was.
Of course.
And I think a little bit of that is attractive.
Sure.
And I don't think that he abused it.
Okay.
I thought that I would notice the age gap less as time went on. But I think I felt it more. And I think it's because, and this is on me, not on him, I made myself grow up faster than I needed to.
100%. 100%. I was just talking about that. I did like a reel the other day where I was like, my tips for younger women in large age gap relationships with older men. And two things, well, three main things came up for me where I was like, number one, as a young woman, get really clear on what it is that you're seeking from this older man. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, and I've been in multiple age gap relationships. I think that in my, before I was 18, when I was seeking out older men, I was definitely looking for a parent figure, someone mm-hmm. to take care of me.
Yeah.
Not financially provide for me, but like emotionally.
Someone who was in control. Like,
right, in control. I mm-hmm. wanted an adult.
Yeah,
right?
I can
especially
relate to
because
that.
I had come up as a child where I had adult responsibilities from a really young age. Mm-hmm. And so I'd like look at the other teenage boys and be like, you don't know shit about shit about shit. Like, you don't know anything about life. Like I've been doing adult shit since I was five. Like mm-hmm. I cannot relate to you. Right. So it was a part of me anyway, that was seeking, yes, an actual adult. So my tip, right, in that is like for young women to get like really clear on what it is they're seeking from their older partner mm-hmm. without judgment. Right. And then conversely to ask yourself and them, what this older man is seeking from you mm-hmm. in a young woman.
Right.
Because that matters.
Yeah. I think it comes down to what your bond is. Like if you have an intellectual bond, then...
Which is legitimate
and absolutely can happen even with large age gaps.
Yes.
It's different from a sexual attraction where, you know, the older man or woman is just lusting after the younger one and that is their currency.
Right.
Which we see a lot of too.
So my tip is to like, just get clear on it, mm-hmm. right? Have the awareness to consider it.
Right.
And the third thing is, and it's to your point of what you were talking about, right? Is that about you thought that the age gap would feel less severe or significant as you guys got older and mm-hmm. you wound up feeling it more and more. The third thing is that I think for any marriage and any relationship, it is really hard to continue to grow together over a period of time, right? Relationships that stand the test of time, mm-hmm. they have to continue to find themselves and each other and come back to each other over and over and over again. And it's a choice, mm-hmm. right?
It is. It's a choice.
It's a choice. And so when you're in that age gap, there needs to be the space and grace mm-hmm. to allow, especially the younger person, to grow, learn, make mistakes, go through their youth mm-hmm. without
judgment or rushing it or expectation.
Or like just bypassing it. Like you do not have to relinquish these really special years of your life, or you shouldn't have to, mm-hmm. right? In order to like level up so severely that you bypassed a bunch of your own life experience.
Right. And I think in my situation, it wasn't necessarily the age that was one of the factors in why it didn't work out. I think that if I'm being really honest with myself, mm-hmm. I wanted at 25 years old to be, and this is going to sound really depressing, I wanted to be someone who was valuable enough for his love because I had kind of felt broken and unlovable. And so I thought if I could make myself someone worthy of this man, then that would be an accomplishment.
How many people are doing that every single day? Every single day, like age or not?
It's hard to admit.
I mean, and it's also like societal, it's like across class, mm-hmm. right? It's across cultures, mm-hmm. right? If my XYZ religious spouse's mom
right
will accept me and he accepts me,
then I have
then
value.
I'm worthy, right? Then I bring value into the world.
But what that does is diminish who I was a person. There were things that I was afraid of. I think a lot of it is creativity. I always knew I wanted to be a writer. I always knew I wanted to express myself in certain ways. I always wrote kind of edgy and liked to talk about sex and taboo things. And it didn't seem like there was a path for success to me in society. And I was afraid of it. And I was a little bit of a wild child and I liked to party. And all of these characteristics that made up who I was scared me. And so I thought, if I could change myself to be someone worthy of this man, then I have a much better shot of making it in life.
And making it, what is making it? Like, what was your version of making it?
I think at that
age. Because that doesn't
age,
seem like it's lining up with what you were right, just saying.
Right.
Like, I'm just listening to you. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, making it and what she was talking about and the spicy and the edgy. Mm-hmm. I don't know. misaligned.
Yeah.
So what was it then?
I think I was misaligned. I think I didn't believe that the things that I was passionate about and wanted to do were good avenues of pursuit.
Like acceptable?
Yeah.
By who?
Society.
Society. Him?
Yes and no. Mm-hmm. He's always been supportive of me writing.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote Pink Glass Houses while we were still married.
When did you guys get divorced?
Like, we don't have to put that in that, in 2021.
Here. Okay.
2021.
Uh-huh.
But I did feel like I was always kind of overtly sexual. He was more conservative outwardly. And so I adjusted my behavior accordingly. Not because he asked me to, because I felt like
because you're a problem solver.
Yeah.
No. Like, women are problem solvers in a lot of ways. Like, you see the obstacle.
I never thought about it that way.
Because you're like, oh, how do I make this work?
Right.
Oh, I just need to shift myself into right. this. Well, and because, into whatever.
Because I always felt like there was something like innately wrong with how I was acting.
Oh, so you judged yourself for your sexuality.
100%.
Okay. Yeah, that's not, it doesn't feel good.
It doesn't
feel
good.
To be in that alignment and to feel judgment and shame about yourself and your sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
Especially as a woman. I would imagine for anyone.
Yeah. Right?
For anyone to experience that, that must be incredibly painful.
It was. I think that when I met this person, I was at a time in a crossroads where I thought, okay, I'm either going to go in this really scary direction or I'm going to fix myself and be someone who can, I don't know what the word I'm looking for, because productive member of society, like an appropriate member of society.
Mm-hmm. Not according to somebody else's standard.
Exactly.
Right. And a lot of these standards, I think, are perceived. I don't know that we even,
mm-hmm.
like, is there really a standard? I think that, like, everybody's running around saying there's a standard.
Mm-hmm. That we create for ourselves.
That we create for ourselves, and nobody actually has the fucking standard.
Right.
Like, nobody knows what the standard is.
Right.
Like, but we're all like, the standard. And we're like, there is a standard, and nobody knows actually what it is.
And I think that there is just like, there can be a huge fear in pursuing your dreams, which is why mine were delayed.
Literally, my son is named after Santiago in The Alchemist, which, mm-hmm. have you read that book?
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so it's like, you know, going after your dreams and what happens when you achieve your dreams?
Magic.
You say magic. Mm-hmm. A lot of people are so scared to go after their dreams because then what?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I remember in 2005 when the Heat won the championship, mm-hmm. right? And I was a Miami Heat dancer. And we won the championship. And I remember, it's like, well, where do you go from here?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you go from here? Or even me, like, achieving.
Instead, like, of just like taking a step back and celebrating, yeah. and appreciating,
right.
the
I
win.
I mean, look, I that wasn't me. I did not win the championship.
But myself. You were
I was
part
at the game.
Of, yeah.
Oh, I was shaking. No, I was a performer. I was an mm-hmm. entertainer, you know? But I remember thinking that, like, at large, it's like, where do you go from here? Like, I remember reflecting, and I was only like 18 at the time, but I'm like, now what? When you win it all, like, what do you do?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you win it all in life, what do you do? When you achieve your dream, what do?
Do you ever win it all? There's always the next,
right.
the next one.
So it's like, I love your answer because it's like, that's what we want. That's the ideal mm-hmm. response, you know? But I think a lot of people live in fear because it's more fun and more hopeful
mm-hmm.
to have the dream.
Right.
Than to actually get there
mm-hmm.
and have to recreate something else. I think that a lot of people are scared of that.
Yeah, it is scary. And I can relate to that. So selling Pink Glass Houses to a publisher was one of the best feelings of my life. And it felt like, wow, like, this was my dream. I always wanted to be a writer. And this is, you know, it's all coming true. It's going to happen in 2 years, because from the day I signed the contract till publication of Pink Glass Houses was 2 years. Mm-hmm. And those were two amazing years because I was just sitting in anticipation of my dream coming true.
If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community, where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at Nikki Sapsbo and @becoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit NikkiSpo.com.
And as it got closer and closer, as in like 2 months, a month before, I started to freak out and think like, well, what's going to exactly the unknown, what's going to happen when this comes out? All of a sudden, my baby that I felt so proud of is open to public scrutiny. It will be considered a success or a failure. People will write reviews, positive and negative, about it. And it didn't have that same feeling of excitement and enthusiasm as when I got.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
The book deal.
So how did you turn that around? Like, what did you do from there?
I think the most helpful thing for me was talking with other writers who... everyone seemed to universally say, oh yeah, there's almost like not a depression, but like a darkness that happens.
Absolutely.
When the thing happens.
Absolutely.
And that was incredibly comforting to me.
Yeah.
To know community
helps everything.
Yeah.
To know you're not alone in this experience. Like other writers go through this, by the way.
Right. And writers telling me, just remember that this was your dream.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh yeah, it was,
and we got there
exactly,
yeah.
And so, then it felt good again.
So what is Pink Glass Houses about?
Pink Glass Houses is also a social satire. Okay. It's set in Miami Beach, and it's really about competitiveness among mothers as it pertains to expectations we have for ourselves to be perfect for our kids, to be the best school volunteer and maintain a career and try to like balance all of these things that absolutely nobody can do. Okay, and so, what that does to us and how we treat each other as a result.
Okay. I mean, because there's so it's loaded.
Yeah. There's a lot there.
And so you were writing this while you were going through your divorce.
Yeah, I started writing it before. I started writing it in quarantine, which, you know, for a lot of people, quarantine gave us the opportunity to pursue things that we had left long dormant.
Hello, yes, for sure. Me too.
And so this was always the, oh, if I had time, I'd write a book. I have time. So I wrote the book. And I researched how to get a book published because I had never done that. I didn't have friends who had done that. I started meeting other writers. I started workshopping. I learned how to find an agent. I got an agent, and then my whole life changed.
And what were some of like the obstacles that you had to face? That because you sound very resourceful. Right? Like I'm like
I get obsessed
when you're saying I had to figure out how. I'm like, oh my gosh, no, I'm like, how do I start a podcast?
But you did it. You did it.
Sure. Yeah. So I guess I did it in my own way, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm like, what were some of these obstacles that you overcame? Like, how did you have the guts to do it? How did you know that you were like, this is it. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I got to an age, I think, where I was no longer afraid of failure. And I think that's
interesting.
What had held me back for so many years, knowing that I was always writing. So I was 5 years old.
You've been writing
my little stories, submitting to writing contests and things like that, but never trying to write a book because I thought that if I failed, it would devastate me and it would affect this image I had of myself as a writer. And that's I got wild. To an age where I didn't care. I was like, listen, like I'm either going to do it or I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And if I fail, so what? And so I truly took away any expectations and was just committed to taking it as far as I could. And I had a lot of support along the way. I met writers who I workshopped with, who helped me make the manuscript stronger, who told me their success stories and how they did it. And I just tried to mirror that. And with work and like rejection, I got there eventually.
How hard is it to deal with that rejection?
One of the first workshops I took, so before I had the opportunity to be rejected, the instructor opened the class with a poem that basically said, paper your walls with rejection letters.
Wow.
So the expectation was set right up front that like, you're going to hear a lot of no's and it'll be cold and unfeeling And it doesn't mean anything about your work. It just means that you didn't find your person yet that resonates with what you're trying to say. So that was really helpful.
Did it affect you at all, though?
The rejections?
Yeah.
Tougher ones are when, so when you try to find an agent, you kind of cold call them with a form kind of email that you're writing about your project. And they either send you a cold rejection that you can tell, like, there was no feeling either way, or they ask to see a manuscript. When they ask to see a manuscript, you feel like you're this close.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm about to get an agent.
Like, I have a book deal.
So when those ones say no, it stings.
Right. Because
you felt like you got close and you lost them.
Right.
And you're like, what lost them? What was it? What was missing?
And I always feel like if I can get my foot in the door, I can get it.
Exactly. Exactly.
So to like get my foot in the door and then not get it done, I'm like, ooh, burn.
So those are the ones that hurt.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So I, as I told you before, like I read your article in Cosmopolitan and I was just like, oh my gosh. And then there was that movie, what's it called, with Anne Hathaway?
Yes. Of course I can't remember. It's like about that too, but it was
Oh my gosh, The Idea of You. Is that what it's called? Oh,
yes. I'm so glad you remember.
I read the book.
I am blanking.
I read the book while I was going through a divorce and I was like, yeah, right. I was like, yeah, right. I'm about to have my third baby. Who's going to want 37?
That's something that we tell. That's something that we tell ourselves. Who's going to want this divorced mom?
Well, let me tell you. No, I'm not going to tell you guys that. But Asha's going to tell us about her experience with that.
Sure. And I, so again, I had a very amicable divorce and still have a great partnership with my ex, but I really did leave the relationship thinking that I might never love again. I might never date again.
Did you leave?
Was it
mutual?
It was mutual. But I started dating men my age. And I felt like I was dating younger because I'd been with somebody 14 years older.
Yeah. And how long were you guys together?
We were together, married for 10 years, together for 13.
Okay.
We were together a long time.
Yeah, that's a long time.
How long was yours?
We were married for 7 years.
Okay. A long time.
Uh-huh. You guys were together for 10 years, married for 10 years, together for
13.
For 13. Okay. So you make this decision.
Yeah. And obviously was really hard and painful.
We
have kids together.
Right.
I did start dating again. And all of my girlfriends who were going through divorces around the same time had these like hot 26-year-olds that they were having flings with. And
how old were you at the time?
I'm 41 now. I was like 38 at the time. And
I'm loving this.
And I was like,
38.
I was like, I don't know, guys. This doesn't, I don't know if it's me. I've never been attracted to younger men. What do you talk about?
I've only
been with older men.
Yeah. Samesies.
And then I started hanging out with like the cute guy at the gym who's 7 years younger.
Yeah.
So it's not an eternity. And I was like, okay, this is my younger guy fling.
Okay. Younger guy fling, like the fun guy.
Exactly. But 15 months later, we're still having fun. And so now it opens up a whole other book of questions of, oh, what's it like being in a relationship with a younger man as an older woman?
So what's it like?
It brings out thoughts and insecurities I never had before.
Oh,
because I was the young girl.
Yeah, right. Okay, so on that, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you're married to somebody older or when you're with somebody older, you're always the young hot one.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I'm like, great. I get to be the young hot one forever.
Forever.
And ever. And
what
ever,
a privilege. What a privilege.
I know. I'm like, and there was another article that came up like after I was reading yours, and it was like the angle of like why women should always be with somebody older. And it was along those lines of like you, women have a time clock.
Right.
Women age out of everything, basically.
Right.
Like we age out of everything, which is such a
we become infertile.
Up, right?
Like, we
it's all messed up. It's all a messed up attitude towards women.
Yes.
And our value. Right. But there's like an argument to be made about that. And I get it because I was like, makes sense. In my life, I was like, yep, makes sense.
Yeah.
Young, hot, smart, capable. I will live, you know, I'll live longer. Not really because I'm just younger. Not like I might like outlive a person, but not because by age, but just because
I think women do live longer than men.
I think you're right about that.
Yeah, it is true.
So there's that argument, right? And I'm like, okay, so now you date somebody younger. You're whatever age woman you are. And now you have a boyfriend or partner who is younger than you. Mm-hmm. And those insecurities are what?
I mean, there is like the overthinking that, okay, like if we are in this for the long term, mm-hmm. and we decide in 5 years that we want to have kids, there are things that I can't give him if right. we're together for the long term and we uh-huh. decide in 5 years. And that's a really bad feeling because he's 34 and doesn't have kids.
Yeah.
And can decide at any time that he does. And then he should absolutely
pursue that. Right. And like, do you even want to have kids? Like, let's say like you're not able to get pregnant anymore, right? Mm-hmm. Do you even want to entertain surrogacy or adoption, right? Like, is that even like a, and that's I think not necessarily a personal question.
We aren't there.
Yeah.
But if I was in the perfect situation where everyone was ready and it was appropriate, I would be open to it. Mm-hmm. But I'm 41 years old.
Yeah.
So
you're like,
my biology might disagree with that.
Right. But also like just in general, like mm-hmm. as women in that situation, right? It is something to reckon with. Do I even want that? Like, mm-hmm. okay, if there's a way to make it happen through surrogacy or adoption or whatever, like, do I even want that? Mm-hmm. Do I want to start over?
Right.
Especially if you happen to have children with one person, mm-hmm. right? Where now you've got, like, for me, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm used to like my kids going back and forth now.
Right.
Like I'm used to my alone time. I'm used to having a break, mm-hmm. right? And when they're here, I'm like, this is the yummiest, juiciest experience ever. I love them. I love being a mom. Mm-hmm. And then like for me right now, I'm like, I morph into, even though we're always in goddess mode.
But don't you feel like you're two people?
Yeah.
I feel like I live two different lives.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, goddess in both, right? Because like the mother is everything. But then like turn into like a different type of goddess mm-hmm. when I'm not with them. Mm-hmm. And so how do you make it work? Like, and I really am, I'm fascinated by the psychology of what insecurities come up mm-hmm. because it's not just the kids.
Yeah. And I'm being perfectly vulnerable. There's the understanding that I'm just going to keep aging. No matter what I do, I can do the little things here and there. I can stay, you know, we can stay as young looking for as long as we can, but we are getting older and there are stigmas about sexuality in older women. There always has been. And I worry that I'm not always going to be attractive to this person, which is, again, never a worry that I had being with an older man.
It's also like not a worry that it's almost like not even personal. It's like mm-hmm. you're worried that he's not going to be into it, mm-hmm. right? Not that you're not going to be enough, but like, are they going to change their mind?
I think it's just even looking at society. It's like, does this work? Like, yeah. Do these kind of arrangements work?
I'm proud to say that my parents were together. I'm really actually super proud to say that.
That makes me so happy.
My parents were together for 25 years. And like the other day, my dad might listen to this and roll his eyes or whatever, but I actually believe it to be true. One of my aunts told me that my mom was like the love of my dad's life.
Yeah.
Like, at that time, you know, my dad has gone on to have other relationships that are very meaningful and beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure in this time of his life, he feels similarly, you mm-hmm. know, to the partners he's chosen after my mom. But I do admire how long they were together. And I think it's like possible. I think people do it.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It just feels, again, like coming from a relationship where I was the younger woman with the older man, like even though it didn't work out, it felt like the natural way to do things. Mm-hmm. And this feels in some ways unnatural, which is sexy, right?
It's right. So fun. I want to talk about that too, right? Yeah.
Like, oh, are we doing something that's a little taboo?
Thank you for listening to the Becoming Her podcast. If you love this episode, share it with a friend who may need to hear what we spoke about today. And if you really love this episode, make sure to leave a 5-star rating and a review. Your comments are so important and valued, and they give other listeners insight on what to expect from Becoming Her. If you're looking for deeper connection, check out the Becoming Her exclusive online community where you will meet with me and other like-minded, mission-centered women who are on the journey to the biggest, most glorious homecoming and glow up. You can connect with me personally on Instagram at Nikki Saps Beau and wearebecoming_her. For more information on all of the things, visit nikkispo.com. My hope for you today is that you are courageous and looking inward so that you can be your highest, most authentic self and go after the life of your dreams.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.